flavor's all yours when you call for Philip Morris. So clean, so fresh, so pure, it's America's finest cigarette. Johnny presents the Rudy Valley Show.
My time is your time. Your time is my time.
Ladies and gentlemen, here comes Johnny. Johnny, with an invitation to try Philip Morris. So clean, so fresh, so pure, America's finest cigarette. Tonight, Johnny presents the Rudy Valley Show, spotlighting this week Margaret Whiting, Bill Stern, Ken Card, Benny Kruger's Orchestra, and the Karl Marr Chorus.
There's no time like our time, and no one like.
Everybody, this is Rudy Valley. On this evening of excitement and some regret, with nostalgia, in the termination of a year of mixed events and emotions, we ring up our last curtain for this year with a song pertinent to the occasion. There Goes Yesterday. Time is flying, but we're not sorry or sad. We're moving on and we're glad that time is flying. We think it should. Today is good. We wouldn't try to go back if we could.
There's no retreating.
We've got to go with the stream.
The past is only a dream.
There's no retreating.
Another day we start upon. It goes its way. And when it's gone, we march on. There goes yesterday, poor old yesterday's dying. Heaven bless today, youth and yesterday fly.
Oh, we won't be here anyhow, and we won't be taking a bow.
And very soon, I guess today will be yesterday. Let's make the most of it now. Let's make the most of it.
Enough of you seconded our enthusiasm for Ken Card and his unusual style of thinking out loud, that he stands ready again to acquaint you with his problems, which he expresses as only he can express them. That sartorial gentleman, Ken Card.
Well, thank you, Rudy, and hi, your friends.
Say, Ken, what have you been doing since I saw you last?
Well, Rudy, I went on a little vacation.
Did you go alone?
No, I took my wife and mother-in-law.
Your mother-in-law?
Yeah, I had to take her. It was her motorcycle.
Well, how'd you all ride?
Well, Rudy, I rode on the seat, and my wife, she rode on the carrier. My mother-in-law, she rode in a sidecar with the rest of the baggage.
Was it a nice trip?
Well, we had a little trouble getting out of town. We came up one of these stop signals. My motor stopped. The light went red, green, yellow, and then red and green. Pretty soon an officer came over. He said, "What's the matter?" I said, "Well, I haven't seen any colors I like yet." We finally got started. Went a few more blocks. Another officer yelled at me. He said, "Can't you go any faster?" I said I could, but I don't want to leave the motorcycle. We finally got out of town. My mother-in-law said, "How about letting me drive?" Oh, I said, "It's all right with me." She didn't drive over 5 minutes. She ran into a great big truck. The truck driver got out and he came over. He said, "What's the matter with you? Can't you see where you're going?" She said, "Well, I hit you, didn't I?" It made him kind of mad, and they got into a little argument. Pretty soon, she said something to him he didn't like. He gave her a push. I jumped off the motorcycle. Well, I said, "Only a coward would hit a lady like that. Why don't you hit a man?" He did. About 2 minutes later, my wife helped me up. I said, "Where is he?" She said, "He's right over there." Well, I said, "How'd I get way over here?" She said, "Well, you flew most of the way." Well, I said, "How is Mother?" She said, "Ken, I think she's unconscious. We better get her to a hospital." We jumped on the motorcycle. Going down the road about 40 miles an hour. I looked over in the sidecar, see how she was doing. There she was, her eyes wide open, her face red as a beet. I said, "Ma, the way you're perspiring, anybody think you were running?" She said, "I am. The bottom fell out of this thing 10 minutes ago." I said, "Do you still want to go to the hospital?" She said, "I sure do." Well, then I said, "You better keep on a running. I ran out of gas 5 minutes ago."
The year 1946 heralded the growth to full stature of an American girl who sings songs as America wants them sung. The choice by Eddie Cantor of Margaret Whiting for his great program and her high place in the hearts of music lovers everywhere and her fine recordings might well entitle her to the Queen of Singers of 1946 and 47. May we present again America's own Margaret Whiting.
What can I do? What can I say? after I've taken the blame. You say you're through, you'll go your way, but I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, loving you dear like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty.
It stands to reason that whatever cigarette you smoke, that cigarette, in your opinion, is a good cigarette. Otherwise, you just wouldn't smoke it. That's why this challenge, this friendly challenge, is for you. Try Philip Morris and test Philip Morris against the cigarette you're now smoking. Test it for taste and notice the taste, so clean, so fresh, so pure, that makes Philip Morris so good to smoke. Test it for flavor, and notice the rich, natural flavor in Philip Morris that comes of the world's finest tobaccos. Test it for pleasure, pure smoking pleasure, and notice how Philip Morris brings you those easy moments of perfect relaxation. Yes, you be the judge. Match Philip Morris with the cigarette you're now smoking. Compare critically for taste, for flavor, for smoking pleasure. We believe that you, too, will call for Philip Morris because you, too, will agree that Philip Morris is America's finest cigarette. Always better, better always.
It has been my perennial custom throughout all my years in radio to sing at New Year's time a song which has been my musical rabbit's foot ever since I recorded it years ago. Its heartwarming philosophy has been very welcome in the troublesome years behind us, and I'd like to believe that what it says will always be true, that there will always be a place for lovers, love songs, and romance as time goes by. This day and age we're living in gives cause for apprehension, with speed a new invention. And things like third dimension, yet we get a trifle weary with Mr. Einstein's theory. So we must get down to earth at times, relax, relieve the tension. No matter what the progress or what may yet be proved, the simple facts of life are such they cannot be removed. Must remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh, the fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you, on that you can rely. No matter what the future brings as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by. Tomorrow, here in California, we will see the Gridiron Classic of the year. All roads will lead to Pasadena for the Tournament of Roses and the Rose Bowl contest. In our minds, the pick of all the sports announcers is the man who thrilled you on his own radio program with breathtaking stories of great sportsmen of yesterday. Bill Stern brings to our microphone tonight something that only he can present so thrillingly and so interestingly. To know him is to realize that he has great depth of understanding of all sports and all that pertains to the sports world. Here he is, Bill Stern.
Thank you, Rudy. Being out in California to broadcast the Rose Bowl game is a responsibility for millions listening to the NBC broadcast each year. It's my job to make it as interesting to them as it is to the 90,000-some-odd people who watch the ball game. It's always a great game, for if the teams were not among the best in the country, they wouldn't be in the Rose Bowl. Each Rose Bowl game produces its own share of thrills, thrills that no other game year in and year out ever furnishes. For instance, what other series can you name that's produced a wrong-way run comparable to Roy Riegel's? Or the five All-American facts in a single game, such as the game that watched the immortal Four Horsemen of Notre Dame play against Ernie Nevers of Stanford? Or the year that found a fourth-string quarterback throwing four desperation heaves and completing all four of them in the closing seconds to beat an unbeaten team? That would be Southern California versus Duke. And who can forget the great passing combination of Alabama's Howell to Hudson or Johnny Mack Brown, the boy who came west to play football and stayed to become a movie star, or the hundreds of other greats that have made Rose Bowl history? Fielding Yost in 1902 began this all. He began by bringing his famous point-a-minute Michigan team west. Then came the great California Wonder Teams with Brick Muller. Navy sent a team out from Annapolis. Harvard, the Buckeyes of Ohio State came out. And USC, with its great reputation under Howard Jones, never beaten in the bowl while he was their coach. W&J, many great teams. And you know why they played such wonderful football in the Rose Bowl? It was like the Palace Theater. When a vaudeville artist reached the palace, they were on top. Margaret Whiting could tell you about that, and if she couldn't, her daddy could. That's the peak of perfection, to be invited to play the palace. And it goes for Rose Bowl football teams. When they hit the big bowl, they're on top. Now this year, to that bowl comes a team of fighting Illini, rolling westward from the plains of Illinois to play UCLA's unbeaten Bruins. It should be quite a game, since this is the first Midwestern or Eastern team that has come westward since Lou Little brought his great Columbia team out to the Rose Bowl in 34. That was the team they laughed at, the team they said didn't have a chance. And yet when that Rose Bowl game was over, Lou Little's Columbia Lions were roaring in victory. And speaking of Lou Little, around him once happened the greatest football story I ever heard. For back in 1920, before Lou Little arrived at Columbia, he was the head coach at Georgetown University. And on his squad was a football player by the name of Ed Smedley. Now, Ed wasn't a good football player. In fact, he was a very poor player. But Lou Little kept this boy on the squad only because football obviously meant so much to the lad. True, he was a poor player, but also true, he was a hard worker. It was one thing about this boy, though, that made him stand out. And that was this boy's great devotion to his own father. Each weekend, the father and the son could be seen walking arm in arm around the Georgetown campus. And each week, the lad looked forward so keenly to those visits from his father. Nobody ever kidded the boy about his devotion to his dad, for it was obvious that he sincerely loved his father. And these two became a common sight, walking with their arms linked together on the Georgetown campus. One day, Lou Little received a telephone call telling him that the boy's father had died unexpectedly of a heart attack, and that he, as the youngster's football coach and perhaps his closest friend at college, would have to break the news to the boy. Lou Little knew what a terrific shock it would be, and so he called the boy into his private office and there broke the news as gently as he could. The youngster was heartbroken. And finally, Lou Little broke the silence. "Son, go on home now and be with your mother. You mustn't think of football." And the boy did go home. But strangely enough, 1 week later, that boy was back at Georgetown and back in Lou Little's office. "Mr. Little," said the boy, "I've come back to ask you one favor. Next week is Georgetown's final football game of the season. Please, sir, could I start that game?" Lou Little thought for a moment. He remembered how bad a football player this boy was. He remembered, too, that next Saturday was Georgetown's big game of the year. But he remembered also the emotional strain under which this boy was laboring. Coach Little turned to the boy. "All right, son, you're going to start the game." The boy went out quietly. Lou Little made a mental note to take the boy out after the first play. And the following Saturday, Lou Little did start the boy. But he didn't take him out after the first play, for the boy began to do everything he'd never been able to do. He tackled, he blocked, he passed, he punted. Lou Little couldn't believe his own eyes. At halftime, Little walked over to the boy, congratulated him, and told him he was going to play the second half, too. And play the second half he did. The lad's own teammates now couldn't believe what they were seeing. This boy, who'd never been good enough to make the varsity, was winning the game. And finally, as the final gun sounded, everybody in that huge stadium stood up and paid a tribute to this lad. A tribute to a lad who'd played one of the greatest games of football ever seen at Georgetown. Back in the locker room after the game, Lou Little took the boy aside. "Son," said Little, "I've seen some pretty fair football in my time, but today you played the greatest game I ever saw. Tell me, what in the world changed you in this past week from the mediocre player you used to be into the great star that you suddenly became this afternoon?" The boy stood up, looked his coach right in the eye, and said, "Mr. Little, I'm going to tell you something you never knew. When my father was alive, he was blind. Today is the first day he ever saw me play football."
Thank you, Bill Stern. Of course, Margaret Whiting must return, as only one song would deprive us of her versatility. Her vibrant voice interprets, "I Get a Kick Out of You."
I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. So tell me, why should it be true that I get a kick out of you? Some like that perfume from Spain. I'm sure that if I took even one sniff, it would bore me terrifically too. Still, I get a kick out of you. I get a kick every time I see you standing there before me. I get a kick, though it's clear to me you obviously don't adore me. I get no kick in a plane, flying too high with some guy in the sky is my idea of nothing to do. Still, I get a kick, 'cause you turn the trick, and I get a kick out of you.
Out of the past, upon a foundation intended to last.
A nation fashioned through the ages, a never-ending history with ever-turning pages. So it goes on, age after age, each generation adding a page. They leave their mark and are gone, and so it goes on. Beggar or king, a link in the chain, things that they do forever remain. They leave their mark and are gone, and so it goes on.
our land of today. Let content that we would keep it that way.
So we go on, we of today, following those who showed us the way. Our mark and our gun, and so it goes on, 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 on.
In choosing your own cigarette, there's only one person whose judgment really counts. That person is you yourself. So accept this friendly challenge. Try Philip Morris and test it against the cigarette you're now smoking. Test it for taste, for flavor, for smoking pleasure. Compare critically, and you too will call for Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. Philip Morris, so clean, so fresh, so pure. Always better, better always.
It's time to sing a goodnight song again to you. It's time to say another so long again to you. These precious moments we knew in our rendezvous. The happiness of fun and song we'll soon renew. It won't be long until all the lights burn low again. And so you see it really is time to go again. And soon the stars will be gleaming, sweet dreams you'll be dreaming, for it's time to sing a goodnight song again.
Yes, it's time to say goodnight again for the last time in 1946. Before so doing, I'd like to thank Margaret Whiting, Ken Card, and Bill Stern for being with us tonight. We hope you'll all be with us next week when we welcome Alan Young and company, Doris Day, and a salute to the postman of America in the composition, I Carry the Mail. This program shortly will present America's beloved songbird, Ruth Etting. So until then, this is Rudy Valley saying au revoir, hasta la vista, a very happy new year, and good night.
Inviting you to try Philip Morris for all the good things you want in a cigarette. For taste, for flavor, for smoking pleasure. Call for Philip Morris. Call for Philip Morris.
And remember, the flavor's all yours when you call for Philip Morris. So clean, so fresh, so pure. Always better tasting, better smoking, better for you in every way. So goodbye, Johnny. See you next week. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Ken Niles inviting you to join Rudy Valley again next week when he will present Alan Young, Doris Day, with Benny Kruger's orchestra and the Karl Marr Chorus. Pipe smokers, at ease. Take five. Take Revelation. Yes, enjoy Revelation Pipe Tobacco, a blend of five glorious tobaccos. Load up, light up, and take five. Take Revelation.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.